Glad to have Nathan with us this morning. And he always, always has an informative and good lesson. So good to see y'all. And in the way of announcements, we've got David Gibbs with us today. And Brother David, he's with the Christian Law Association. Many of you have heard him, and maybe some of you haven't, but you will enjoy his message. So we're looking forward to 11 o'clock hour when he will speak to us, okay? we want to say congratulations to Pastor and Amy on the birth of their granddaughter, Emerson Jo, on June the 1st, 26. And she's a cute little thing. We got to see a picture of her. Also, Daniel and Rebecca Wakefield on the birth of their son, David Alexander, on June the 3rd. So it's good to make these announcements. That's more children coming our way, and that's what builds our church. That's what really helps us go forward. So anyway, welcome today. There is no birthdays nor anniversaries this week. So won't have anything to announce in that way. Oh, it is. Well, happy anniversary. 23 years for Nathan and his wife. Yes. Well, glory. Same one. Okay. All right. Well, again, it is good to see you. And I'm going to go ahead and say I come around and spoke with most of you about prayer requests. So we tried to record those. Mr. Carl Bond was hospitalized yesterday over at the VA center. He's got problems with one of his feet, and so they're afraid of infection. So he'll be over there for a little while, and we'll pray for him. Also, Shirley, my wife, she spent a couple of days in the hospital this week with high blood pressure and some pain issues. So we've got some tests to go through with over the next week or two or three. And so y'all just remember her in prayer, okay? Does anyone have an unspoken request that you'd say by lifting your hand? Okay, one, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. Thank you so much for that. God knows your heart. He knows what's on your heart. And he deals with those just as he does a spoken one. So, again, it's good to see you. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. And, God, we just know, Lord, that these prayers that are offered up today for these unspoken requests, dear Lord, you know all about that. You know each person's heart. And then, Lord, we think about Brother Carl and what's going on with his foot there. And, Lord, he has other problems that he's dealing with. Plus, they have put off his knee surgery that was scheduled on the 15th, Lord. And, God, may you help him to get to a point where he can get that surgery. Father, remember all the other requests. Pray you'll bless now. Help Brother Nathan as he comes. Give him the word you'd have us to hear. And Lord, then bless Brother David Gibbs as he comes at the 11 o'clock hour. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Shelf, I thought you'd find it interesting. I grabbed one for me too.
If you were here for the first service, you know, that was your heart is stirred. Mine is absolutely stirred right now with the truth that we heard this morning, and praise God for it. If you haven't yet, you'll hear it in the second hour, and man, it's just be ready. God spoke to my heart, and I appreciate Brother Philip and Miss Patty. They have been such a blessing to me over the last few years of this. You know, with all their experience and the ministries that they've been in and all the things that they've done, and they looked around the church and said, who needs help? And like, that guy, he needs some help. We're going to go help him. I'm glad they came up and they help with our primary church with us in the second hour, and man, what a blessing. And we've been praying for Brother Philip. Praise the Lord for raising him up and getting his strength back. And Miss Patty's been such a blessing to our kiddos up there. We run about 30 in children's church on average, 20 to 30 kids. And we've seen kids saved the last 2 years and seen God work. And now this Sunday is our promotion Sunday, and we're going to get a whole new crop of them today and get a whole bunch more that were given to Brother Kyle, which seems unfair, but we'll let him have a whack at them too. We have an opportunity this morning to look at two passages of Scripture. I know you've been going through the book of James, and I decided at first I was thinking about a passage in James, and I will briefly touch on one. But I'm going to ask you to open to one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, which is Psalm 37. Psalm 37 this morning. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Psalm 37. When I was a young man in college, this is one of the passages that God used in my life to just challenge me. And it's always been near to my heart. So we're going to read the first 8 verses this morning of Psalm 37, and then we're going to go through that today and pray God will use that. We've already prayed that. God will use this to help us and minister to our hearts this morning. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Great promise. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Next step. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Pastor touched on that Wednesday night. Commit thy way also to the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself, comes back to that, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. All right, may God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. I want to say not all of these thoughts are original to me. I studied a man who I respect a lot, Dr. Terry Coomer, who is with a Christian Biblical Counseling Center out in Missouri. And a lot of these thoughts come from a Bible study that he did many years ago, probably 8 or 10 years ago. It made an impact on my life, and I saved it and went over it and reworked it and let it get into my heart this morning. But I want you to think about how many Christians are not serving the Lord or are not active in serving God because they've been hurt. How many times does hurt keep us from doing what God wants us to do? You say, well, brother, what kind of hurt are we talking about? I mean, the types of hurt that we go through in this life are so many. Temptations, sin, changes in our lives. When God seems absent, just can't get a hold of God, just seems so far away from us. Broken hearts, problems with our children, problems with our relatives, life separations, people moving away from us, people being we love that are no longer around. Those who have lost hope, sickness, aging, death. There's so many problems that we face in life. I mean, good night, just living can be a problem, right? The older I get, and I am a grandparent, so I maybe not look like it, but I'm a grandfather now. Some of the heartbreaks that we've had in dealing with some of our family and our extended family just in the last 2 weeks are gut-wrenching, just gut-wrenching. And if we do not know how to deal with those hurts, if we do not know how to handle hurt in our lives, we will end up being bitter, We will end up being useless for God. So that is the goal this morning. That is what we need to talk about. Looking at this passage, I'm going to say this very clearly. Folks, you either conquer hurt or it will conquer you. You either conquer hurt or it will conquer you. David was very concerned about bitterness. He was very concerned about evil people succeeding, and it was very hard for him. Hebrews 12:15 says what? Looking diligently, you lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. How many of y'all, when it spring came around, you saw that yard full of dandelions? Yeah. All right, I sprayed them down real good, and they all went away, I think. And then I saw another patch in the backyard, and I thought, oh, I missed you guys. You got to get those things out by the root, or they just come back, right? And then if you have little kids like I had for a long time, they are active spreaders of dandelions. It's just so much fun to pick those up and blow them all over. Just they plant them for you. Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness is sin. You know what comes from bitterness, right? Anger. You know what comes from anger? It says in our passage, wrath. That is a strong desire for revenge. There are a lot of people today, and I meet them, you meet them, sometimes I be them. There are a lot of people today who are a fight just looking for a place to happen. Can't talk to them peaceably. Can't be around them. Can't talk to them about things because they're just on edge. They're just like a time bomb. They're just ready to go off at a moment's notice. And sometimes it's not to the general public. It's that in private. They'll be kind to everybody around. But when it's their family, one-on-one, then you have problems. Have you ever been around a person with an angry spirit? The problems may go back for years and years. An angry mother, an angry father will beget angry children. Those angry children will be separated from their parents so many times. The results are devastating. Two things negatively happen to a person that's been hurt. One, either extreme anger or they withdraw and they won't let anybody close to them. They won't let anybody in, right? You might say, well, Brother Nathan, you don't know what somebody, you know, I did so much for this person and they turned around and hurt me and I'll never do that again, right? We can withdraw and have a pity party. You ever been invited to a pity party? Party of one? Yeah, the only person gets invited is you. I've met a lot of people through my business dealings the last 8 years, and there's a lady that sticks out to me. She's a well-off lady. She owns several apartment complexes. During COVID, she was going through a really tough time. She couldn't evict anyone. Came in, and she was so angry. I've dealt with her multiple times over several years, trying to help her with different things. And she shared with me, after talking to her and getting to know her, why she was so angry. She walks with a walker. She walks with a terrible limp. She drives a beat-up car, and she hauls this walker out, and half the time her walker was halfway broken. And the reason she walks with that walker is because her granddaughter, beautiful young lady, 17 years old, was murdered by a drug dealer. Kidnapped her, abused her, murdered her, and threw off a bridge into a river. And she went after that guy and got the evidence and got him arrested and got him before a judge. And this guy was a high-up drug dealer, and he sent a hitman to kill her. And on the way to the courthouse, she got run over by a car by this guy who was trying to kill her. And that's why she's crippled. Her granddaughter was murdered, ripped her heart out. She loved this girl so much. And she got run over by a car trying to defend her granddaughter and got this guy convicted of murder, sent to jail for life. And 4 years later, the DA cut a deal with this guy because he turned in somebody higher up than him and let him out of jail. And he didn't even serve his sentence. And this woman is eaten up by bitterness. She's eaten up by it. I've talked to her about the Lord. She's like, I just can't forgive. I just can't let go of this. I was concerned for her because she's getting older. I'm like, you know, the Lord can help you with this. And she's just like, I just can't talk to him. She said, people tell me I shouldn't be bitter. I just can't. Do you feel that pain? It makes me almost cry when I think about her, because what would I do if my family went through that? It's so hard. My friend, when we're conquered by bitterness, sometimes we look at ourselves, we don't like what we've become. There's many people who are conquered by hurt. But right here, we're going to identify a cycle, 5 steps, and then we're going to see what God gives us to break out of that cycle. Here's the cycle. It's called the fret, envy, anger, wrath, and evil cycle. Happens very quickly. Look at it says in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, okay? Now, fretting is worrying. We're teaching the kids Bible verses. This is our verse for letter F, fret not thyself. And I have a little boy up in children's church who says, that means don't worry, because that's what I've taught him. That's right. But it also is being bothered by the things, the minutiae. It may be just something small, it may be something big, but it bothers us, okay? Envy, then, it says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Jealousy, why do we feel like that? Well, hey, nobody should treat me that way. I'm as good as they are, right? 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. I won't read it now, but Paul is talking to these brethren, and he's like, you guys are carnal because there's divisions. One person says, well, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, well, I'm of Christ. You know, and they can't get along with each other because everybody's like, well, I should be treated specially. And when you have then envy, then it turns into anger, okay? Avenging ourselves, looking for a way to avenge, being envious, the Bible says, against the workers of iniquity. And then we are jumped down to verse 8, cease from anger, and then forsake wrath. There's their next step. Wrath is looking for ways to avenge. I'm hot about it. I'm angry. Why? Who do they think they are? Wrath. I'm looking for ways to get back at that person. I'll settle this score. And what comes out of that? Evil. The end of verse 8 there, it says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So I'm going to call this those 5 words, fret, envy, anger, wrath, and evil. Why is this a cycle? Why do I say that? Because this passage here, it encapsulates, is like bookends. There's two ends here that talk about it, and the word fret is that key when you're looking at it there. By the way, Psalm 37 is an acrostic psalm. It's like A, B, C, D, E. We're teaching our kids in children's church Bible verses using the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and we've got a verse for every letter. It's a good way to learn something. David is teaching us. David was very bothered, by the way, you look at this. He was very bothered by the prosperity of evildoers. That first verse, fret not thyself because of evildoers. That's that point number one, that cycle, fretting. It bothered him. But then he came to that conclusion in verse 2, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Okay? They are not getting away with it. God knows when somebody does evil. We'll come back and tap that on the head. So fret not thyself because of evildoers. That's a command. Do not fret because of evildoers. Second, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So that second command is don't be envious. Verse 8, cease, another command, from anger. Fourth, forsake wrath. And 5, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't do evil. Okay? You see that cycle? When you let that cycle move through your life, we're violating God's word. And almost always that cycle starts with hurt. It may be a small thing, it may be a big thing, but when you let that cycle prevail in your life, you will hurt and hurt and hurt. Are we supposed to let it build up, not say anything, withdraw, let them hit you again? Just like a bucket that gets fuller and fuller and more filled, and then finally that dumps out on everybody around you. Between verses 1 and verse 8, there are 5 points as well on how to respond to hurt. Thank the Lord for that. Verse 3 is the key when it starts off. It says, trust in the Lord. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The person that is fretting and being tempted to be envious, what are they supposed to focus on? The Lord, right? Trust in the Lord. Let me ask you this. When you're hurt, what do you focus on? The person that did that to you. That's what we focus on, the one who hurt you. You're going to be thinking about them. You'll be in bondage to them. You may be in bondage for years. You talk to somebody, and listen, if I talked to you and you told me about somebody who hurt you, you could probably tell me every detail. Because you've thought about it so many times, how unfair it was, how bad it was, how wrong it was. Because you focus on it, and I focus on it, we become a slave to those thoughts. We are in bondage to that person that's hurt us. Sometimes they don't even know they have. I had people come up. I was a senior in high school at Cedar View Christian School. I came off the mission field my senior year. I was on fire for God. I was leading singing and witnessing and teaching Sunday school. And I got into my senior year with a bunch of carnal goat Christian school kids. And some of them were loved the Lord and they're serving God today, but a lot of them were just there because their parents made them be. And we went to the wilds on our senior trip at the end of the year, and the preacher preached, and a lot of them got their life right with the Lord. And they came up and told me, man, Nathan, we're so sorry. We've hated your guts all year. And I was like, you have? It didn't bug me. I didn't know. But we weren't really close. I was just doing my thing, and they were sitting there like, nah, I hate that guy. He's such a, you know, whatever. They were bothered by it. I didn't even know that I was offending them. What does it say? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now there's some promises here. God is going to take care of you, make sure you've got a place to live, make sure you're taken care of. Focusing on God, He is the one who's in control of our life, right? Not the one who hurts you. God's in control, not the one who hurts you. When you let that fret, envy, anger, wrath, evil cycle work in your life, you are literally saying, I don't trust God. God doesn't care about me. I don't trust Him. When we think about Hebrews 4:15, listen to this passage. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Old English, we have a high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. When Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, did He stand there and just a little tear trickle down the corner of His eye? The Bible says Jesus wept, and He was there to raise him from the dead. But He cared so much about what they were going through. It touched His heart, and He stood in front of that tomb knowing He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But His heart was touched by the feelings of the infirmities of those people around them, and He wept. The Lord does care about what you're going through. He does care about what you're going through. He cares about you. Don't ever think, well, God just doesn't care about me. Wow. Listen, it is important. This is Brother Coomer said this. I want to share this with you. It's really good. It says, every Christian needs to understand this. One of the primary bases of spiritual life is to not be a people responder, but to be a God responder. What does he mean by that? God, what does your kind of person do in a time like this? When I'm hurt, when somebody hurts me and somebody does something mean or offensive, or they are hurting somebody I love, How do I respond in a way that honors God? In a way that shows I'm trusting God? So that's the million-dollar question, right? How? How do you trust God during that time? The fact is, a lot of folks, and I'm not judging, we're all in the same boat. A lot of us don't know God as well as we should. A lot of people in our church, they know the right terminology. They know the right things to say, and they have a relationship with God, but they don't really know God. Knowing God, really getting to know God, is what makes the difference. Do you know that God is perfect? Yeah, he never makes a mistake. Do you think that you could trust your life to somebody like that? Okay. Wouldn't it be great to turn your life over to somebody who never makes a mistake? And you know something else about God? He loves you. So if God has allowed this difficulty and this person and this difficult circumstance to come into your life of no fault of your own, can we trust him in the middle of that? You know, I love my kids. I'm an earthly father. I don't even come close to comparing to what a heavenly father is like. And sometimes we can be like, Lord, I wouldn't let this thing happen to my kid. Why would you let it happen to me? God feels and cares, but God also is sovereign, and he has a plan. This is where James comes in. James 1, 5 through 7, another one of my favorite passages in the Bible. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. By the way, that let him ask is not a suggestion. That's Greek. It's Old English. But in the Greek, it is a command. It says, ask. Do you lack wisdom? I lack wisdom. Hey, you know what? The older we get, the easier it is to get into cruise control. Hey, I've dealt with this before. I can handle these things. I know what to do. God says, you lack wisdom. You need to know what I want you to do. God is the one who gives wisdom. He says, listen, he gives liberally. That doesn't mean he gives like a liberal. He taxes it and gives it to somebody else. No, I'm just kidding. It means that he gives generously, liberally, and upbraideth not. If you were going to upbraid someone, what would you do? You'd be fussing at him for, why'd you ask that again? Your question, your child asked for the 25th time the same thing. How come you're asking me again? God doesn't do that. He doesn't upbraid. And here's the promise. That wisdom, it shall be given him. Unqualified promise. No strings attached. It says, ask me for it, I'll give it to you. Wow. The next verse says, ask in faith. Because the person who doesn't ask him, you can ask God for wisdom and not trust him to give it to you. You can ask, now it's not saying, God, should I sin or not sin? No, God's told us what to do there. But this is, God, how do I handle this problem with my child? How do I handle this problem with my son, with my daughter, with my coworker, with my grandchild, with my neighbor, with this bill? How do I handle these problems? God, I need wisdom. God said, I'll give it to you. But don't ask God and say, God, I need your help, but I know you won't give it to me. God says that person's like the wave tossed to and fro like the wind. They've got nothing, no foundation. He says, ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that asketh, if you don't ask in faith, you're like that wave tossed to and fro. And what's the promise? Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Ask in faith, I will give it to you. Don't ask in faith, you will get nothing. Both commands and both promises from James 1, 5 through 7. So when I'm asking myself at this point, when I'm hurt, when I'm under pressure, when an evildoer or a worker of iniquity is in my presence or bothering me or causing hurt in my life, can I trust God to protect me? That's it, right? There is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Can I trust God to carry out justice? Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. We know the answer, but God is interested in protecting us. He loves us. He watches over us. He is interested in doing justice to those that hurt you and me. But God is in the business of changing people, and he's done it many times. Isn't it? Wouldn't it be terrible to think that God couldn't change me or God couldn't change you, or God couldn't change them. Romans 12, another great passage. There's three passages, this, Psalm 37, James 1, 5 through 7. Romans chapter 12, listen to these verses, 17 through 21. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And we're going to talk about the beginning of that passage, but is that, you know, that first of all, that first recompense no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Listen, if someone hurts you and you repay them evil for evil, you've shot your testimony to make a difference in their life. It doesn't matter what they've done to me. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. If we are not a good testimony of faith in God, then we're just giving them the ammunition to fight. We're just giving them ammunition to use. We're justifying their bad behavior. We're giving them a reason to say, well, see how terrible they are. I was right to hate them. I was right to do bad to them. It's our policy, and our policy needs to be to live an honest life before all men. Isn't it interesting that when people do bad to us, it seems like nobody's looking, but when we turn around and do bad to them, it seems like everybody's watching? God has a sense of humor sometimes, the way we think. Romans 12, 18. Remember, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That is the goal of a spirit-filled person. What about when it says, if possible? Does that give us an out? What he's saying is it takes two to fight, right? So put every ounce of energy that we have on our side to try to make peace, to try to not fight. It rolls in verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Give place unto wrath means to put it in its proper place. Where is that? With the Lord. Listen, we all have to trust God's timing on this. Sometimes we're just like, God, I need you to do something. I need you to do it like now. I need you to take care of this now. Because, you know, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. And why do we feel like that? We feel like if we don't do something, they're going to get away with it. If I don't fix this problem, they're just going to get away with it. And somebody's got to stand up and say something. Somebody's got to stand up and do something. That is not what this is teaching. The Bible says we are supposed to trust God. So is it say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. Here's the six things I want you to do that person. No, we have to trust God's wisdom in the matter. God knows what that person needs. God knows that person's timing. God knows what is going on in that person's life. And that hurt may be designed to do something special in your life too, to draw you closer to God, to show you an area of blindness, to show you an area that you need to grow in. James 1, verses 2 and 3, God may be working in us what? Patience. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It may take God a year to work it out for you. It may take that year of hurt to motivate you. The quicker we understand what God's trying to do in our life, the quicker God may be able to take that pressure off of your life. So instead of responding in anger and quickness and vengeance, we've got to step back and say, okay, God, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to trust in you. And that gets you what? It gets you emotionally free. If you can stop being hurt and get emotionally free and say, God, you're in control of this and I do trust you in this, what are you doing? What do you want me to do in that person's life? How do you want me to respond? How do you want me to help them? How do you want me to do this? Because we have been hurt many times by people who are very close to us. And if you haven't, you will be. When he says there, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt keep coals of fire on his head. What is he saying? He says, when you have trusted God, you are emotionally free. You are not saying, I have to do this. God is in control. Then you can do good to that person. Not until then. Very important to be emotionally free. Keep heaping coals of fire on their head. Say, well, that sounds good. I'm going to get some fire coals and put them on their head. Set them on fire, God. Oh, that sounds good. It's talking about God's pressure on them. They know they're doing wrong. They're unhappy. They are sad. They are angry. They are hurting. They are lashing out in that bad behavior. But when you treat them with love and kindness and patience, that increases that pressure that God is putting already on their life. And God gets the glory. Coming back to Psalms here, we're going to hit this real hard. We're almost done. Psalm 37:3 again. Trust in the Lord and do good. What comes first? Trust in the Lord. Give it to him and then you can do well. Then you can trust him. Do you see the marvelous way that God wants this to work? He will take care of you if you let him. When a person hurts you and you hurt them back, you give them an excuse to be the person that they've become, and they feel justified. The spiritual response of verse 20 in Romans 12:20 there compounds that guilt. It makes them see, I need to get this right with God as well. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That's giving that to him. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In the middle, there's a lot more we could go on, much, much, much longer in this passage. We're going to have to wrap it in. But meditate on that passage this week. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself in the way God has put this together. Delight yourself in him, getting to know him. And that's why Pastor said Wednesday night, he will give you the desires of your heart. Some people would read that verse and say, man, if I'm just excited for God, I can ask God anything I want and he'll give it to me. Well, if you delight in someone, you want what they want. You want what's best because you want what God wants. And God's like, hey, guess what? I'm going to give it to you. Because you're asking, your heart is with the Lord. You're asking for what he wants in your life. And God is happy to give you that. He will give you the desires of your heart when you delight in him. God, I want my grandson to be saved. God, I want that grandchild to be right with you. God, I want that daughter-in-law to be saved. God, I want that son to get right with you. God, I want my neighbor to get right with you. God, I want this situation in my life I need your help with. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll bring it to pass. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the great truth of your word. Lord, I know that this is not a preaching service, but Lord, I know that all of us, myself included, are convicted in some way as we open this scripture. Lord, all of us have handled our anger, handled our responses, handled our hurts in a wrong way at different times in our life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just get close to you this year. Lord, I pray that today would be a stepping stone in that, that you remind us again how we need to walk in the Spirit, in communion, in fellowship with you, so that you will give us the wisdom and give us the right responses to things in our life that hurt us. Things in our life that cause us hurt. Help us not to walk angry. Lord, this whole society is trying to stir us up to be angry, angry, angry. Respond in outrage to everything. God, we are so outraged so often. Help us to break out of that cycle. Help us to trust you about our politics, about our families, about our relationships, about our problems. And Lord, we praise you for what you're going to do. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of it. And we thank you for giving us these great and precious promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Talbert. All right, Brother Talbert said he nodded, so I guess we're dismissed. All right, thank you all.